Now I am.
There you go.
All right. On our study of Hebrews. So we'll begin with the word of prayer. But before we do the prayer, need to talk about some prayer requests. And we're going to start with Terry's brother, Terry Hallett's brother, Bobby Thompson. Bobby and Bobby's wife, Jerry Lynn, the other night got hit with a tornado and brought the tree completely down over their house, in their room, in their bedroom, and on top of Bobby and on top of Jerry Lynn. Now, Jerry Lynn didn't get hit too badly, but Bobby is real bad. He was about, I'd say 5 hours in the surgery, and so today they were very careful about letting him get back into awareness, and that took some time. So we need to be in fervent prayer for Bobby and Jerry Lynn. Yes?
13 hours of surgery.
Yeah, 13 hours of surgery. I wonder how many doctors were there. Wow, must have been a lot. So we need to be in prayer for them. And Tish goes out and she's supporting it, doing a lot of good work for Bobby and Jerry Lynn, as well as Leslie. So we need to be in prayer for all of them. Now, do you have any other prayer requests? Okay, well, let's get into our prayers and get into our study on the study that we're in Tim. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. With so much in it that we could spend several lifetimes and still not understand it. So can't wait for the day when we're in heaven and Jesus Christ is a teacher and just starts teaching what's going on and what went on in history. So Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see, to understand. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Last week in Hebrews, we were on the problem that Jews have today as well as all through their history with salvation. And there are three major issues as far as talking to them about salvation. One of those is God, and that is the problem. They do not believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they believe that we are in idolatry by believing in one. They say we're in two gods, three gods, and so, and this is a big issue to them, very big issue. And I think somebody last week asked me about, well, how do they do, what do they do with the Old Testament? And it talks about the old Holy Spirit and these things. Well, the best search that I found after looking into that, checking that out, and asking and reading, was that they say that it simply was not God. It was like a angel. But it wasn't an angel. They don't say it was an angel, but it wasn't God either. So that's how they just try to explain and get him by with these things. And then they talk about Jesus Christ. Jesus is, you can easily to understand their problem with Jesus. And then salvation. They still do not believe in the individual salvation. It's a promise restored to Israel as a nation, meaning collectively, not individually. So there is this great problem. And so let's begin with right there where we left off. Let's look at Jeremiah 31:31. Jeremiah 31:31, the new covenant. Now the new covenant in 31 says, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." This would be the taking of the divided kingdom all together in one. And in the Jewish Bible, salvation comes from the Lord and is a favor bestowed upon the nation, not on individuals. Judaism stresses the fact that instead of salvation, one's relationship with God has to be based on three elements. The basis of salvation based on three elements. One, repentance. And that's the, you know, if you're following or study the John the Baptist, his baptism was a baptism of repentance. So his baptism was that. And then secondly, repentance. And then secondly, good deeds as a result of the repentance. And therefore salvation, if they want to talk about it at all, it's by works, not individual. And then the third is life of devotion. And that, of course, you take the Torah and you're devoted to understanding the Torah and the various elements of the Bible. So the question of whether the three deals, albeit, in other words, all three are involved in our salvation, they're not as precise as we are about their salvation. So that's where they go. Although present-day Judaism denies the need for individual and personal salvation, it acknowledges the need for forgiveness. It's very big on forgiveness and atonement and repentance. And the repentance and these things are meritorious, as I said, by the good deeds. Yes?
So there are passages that say that if you do this, you're cut off. Does that mean, one, that they don't believe in eternal security?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, okay. So
they would not.
Could be cut off.
Yes.
And that's being cut off from Israel, which means salvation.
Yes. Yep, absolutely. And able to restore one's relationship with God. Again, their salvation is by works, so it's all that has its problems. Now, Jesus is the one and true Savior God, and remaining loyal to Him is not the great issue. It's simply a matter of simple faith in Jesus Christ for our eternal life. And you can receive God's blessings in time and all, but the eternal life is definite. Okay, now, let's look. We've gone from Jeremiah. Let's look now at John 8. Open your Bibles to John 8. Let's look at the encounter of Jesus had with some of the religious Jews, some that Jesus himself had, John chapter 8, we're going to just read for the sake of our own understanding of what's going on in history. So this is Jesus Christ in John 8 talking to some Jews. And in the passage, the Pharisees were challenging Jesus' authority and claims that he was the source of eternal life. All right, John chapter 8, verse 51 is where we're going to start reading. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone follows my word, he will never see death. Now, you got to hear this from the voice of a Jew. They're going to start right now in arguing with him. The Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Today we'd say you've been drinking, but they said you had a demon. And Abraham died, and the prophets as well. And yet you say, if anyone follows my word, he will never taste of death. You have a demon. That it just simply cannot be. Verse 53. You are not greater than our father Abraham, who died, are you? Are you greater than he is, even though he has died? Verse 54, Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. If it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And, continue reading, and you have not come to know him, but I know him. This is Jesus Christ speaking about God the Father. I know him. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. So Jesus got pretty rough with him, like you. But I do know him. And not only that, I follow his word. There's just so much, if we were studying this passage, we have to deal with, dealing with the knowledge of God the Father. He is a God, and he is our God, and they are liars. And they are liars unlike him. Now, verse 56. Your father, Abraham, was overjoyed to come see my day, and he saw it and rejoiced. Now, people, that is astounding. Abraham is hundreds of years old, died. And here he is, he's saying, he sees me right now, and he's rejoicing the fact that I'm here now. So this is just beautiful as to what's going on in history. And so, verse 57, so the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham, I am. Meaning, and that's very big to the Jews, the I am. Verse 59, therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and left the temple grounds. The Holy Spirit got him out of there. So this is what, just wanted to talk about some of the things that Jesus had to go through in dealing with the Hebrews. Now, I thought you had more. These religious Jews, Jewish leaders, did not believe that Jesus was the source of eternal life. And they definitely did not accept Jesus' claim that he saw Abraham. They just didn't believe that at all. And that Abraham saw him. They really, They say, you compounded your lie. They thought he was demon possessed. Now we would say you're drunk, but they would say demon possessed. But what pushed them, these Jews over the edge was when Jesus declared himself, I am. The term I am. Now we're getting ready in Hebrews, but the term I am in among the Hebrews is the name of God is Jehovah or Yahweh. That means I am Yahweh. Without question, Jesus referred to himself as God. And the Jews reacted and took his word as blasphemy and worthy of death. He was worthy of death for what he was saying. When they attempted to stone Jesus to death, the Holy Spirit got him out of there and he left the temple. He was not to die by stoning. Of course, he is to die by the cross. Now, but this is not the first time that Jesus referred to himself as I am, or Jehovah, or Yahweh. For in the Gospel of John, we find seven times that he added this to his name. In the Gospel of John, Jesus gives us seven ways in which we benefit from remaining faithful to Jesus. So let's take a look at the seven I ams. One, let's look at John 6. John 6, verse 35. But we'll start by verse 34. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread from now on. Jesus said to him, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Also, if you want to, look at Matthew 4:5. Matthew 4:5, as Jesus told Satan, man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, Adonai. So, Jesus refers to himself as I am, as one, as our bread of life. Jesus feeds our ministry, our spiritual needs, and nourishes our souls with mind of Christ, which is the Word of God. But here we're dealing primarily in John 6, 35, I am. So I am the bread. Number two. Jesus is the light of life. Jesus is the light of life. Of the world, the light of the world. Turn to John 8. John 8. Verse 12. John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am Yahweh, the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. But our phrase is, I am the light of life. John 8, 12. Excuse me. This correlates with the Feast of the Boost, the Feast of Boots, or Feast of Sukkot, S-U-K-K-O-T, which is the Jewish autumn festival, which is the festival of Thanksgiving in September or August. October, 5 days after Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It was the feast of the days when Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years, and the Messiah was the light for finding the way in the darkness of that time. So this is the Jesus Christ was the light. So we've covered two of them. I am the bread of life, and in the second, he is the light of the world. Now point three, turn to John chapter 10. Jesus said, I am, and I'm saying I am too, but it's one word of Yahweh. I am the door. I am the door. John 10:7-10. I'm sorry? I'm sorry. John 10:7-9. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go on and out and find pasture. That goes with the thing in Psalm 53. Now, in verse 2 of John 10, Jesus uses the sheep and shepherd analogy. The shepherd who was tending the sheep out in the wilderness would have constructed a pen to keep the sheep safe from all of the predators. At the same time, providing a door or a gate to the entrance of the pen and exit through the pen of day and night shows that Jesus gives us the freedom to find nourishment. To find food for our souls. I am the door. Whether we find nourishment, food, or not is a choice God has given to us. To go to the Word of God or not is the idea. But here is the door on how you would go get your door, your food. So John 10, we have the third, I am door. I am the door. Okay, the fourth. The fourth one, look at John 10. Now look at verse 11 and verse 14. John 10:11-14, we're still in the John 10 of dealing with the sheep. So here it is, Jesus is the good shepherd. Now there are different titles for the shepherd. Here he's good, the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. So here he is, the good shepherd, and the good shepherd is the good shepherd is the one who lays down his life. This tells us that Jesus watches over us as a shepherd watches over his sheep and provides safety for us. And as a good shepherd, Jesus not only lay down his life for us, but devotes his current life for us as well. Now, in Psalm 23, it's the 23rd Psalm, we're not going to turn there, but in Psalm 23, Jesus tells us, our good shepherd, we shall not want. That is, we will not be in lack of anything. For anything we need in our relationship with Him. when he leads us to green pastures and pleasure and places us near and near the water, it means that Jesus not only provides spiritual food for us, but will also provide a calming place for our soul. A calming place for our soul. Many believers would love to have that even today because they don't have it in the doctrine of the Word of God. Now, when we face turmoil, we know that His rod and staff comfort us, which means Jesus will lead us and rescue us and will always be there to correct and protect us. Also, He is there to provide with problems, and therefore is the staff is there. When even in the place of danger are confronted by our enemies who would threaten us because of our faith, Jesus is our safe and encouragement and strength. Okay, those are four of them. Now we come to the fifth one. Fifth one, turn to John 11. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and life. He is the resurrection and life. So, Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the door. Jesus Christ is the shepherd. And now, the fifth one, Jesus Christ is the resurrection and life. John 11:25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies." Now, what is so interesting, we've talked over and over how the Jews did not believe in salvation. Yet there it is, over and over and over. But they rejected him, and they rejected his words. In fact, they ridiculed him for the words that he would give. Here is the erection of life. Now, we are promised to follow him in a resurrection for us for all eternity. With this promise is not the promise we won't physically die. No one gets that kind of physical promise. But we are promised a life after death, and this is the great confidence that we have. Jesus also spoke of himself as the beginning and the end. The first and the last are the Alpha and Omega in verse 9. The first and the last in verse 17 in John 11. Okay, now we come to the sixth one. Now the fifth one, he is the resurrection and life. The sixth one, look at John 14. John 14, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father." I hear that in the words of a Jew. No one comes to the Father but through me. So that's the only way there was going to be anything, is through Jesus Christ. The greatest promise in this verse is that it is impossible for anyone to find God, to come to God, to be accepted to God, unless they go through Jesus. Or to look at it another way is that anyone can come to God. Anyone can come to God, Jew or Gentile, slave or Jew, a slave or free, through Jesus Christ. If they go through Jesus, they can find God. Now, some Jewish teachers say that going through Abraham and the Mosaic Law, they are close to God. That's the way they would look at things. They go through Abraham and the Mosaic Law, they're close to God and do not need Yeshua. Therefore, the question, why is Jesus the only way to God the Father? The answer is because Jesus is the only Son of God. Jesus is the only one that God the Father allows to come to Him through His Son. Jesus is the only door for people to find truth that leads to personal relationship with God. Finally, seven, look at John 15. John 15, 7. Jesus is the true vine. He is a true vine. John 15, 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, I am in him. He bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the true vine. This is so interesting. Well, let me go and just talk about it this way. As believers, we are attached to him like branches to a tree. We also know that from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, that the Holy Spirit is the fruit producer in our lives. And from the teachings of Jesus, we grow as branches. We know that Jesus, we know that through Jesus, we do not only find nourishment, but we grow towards spiritual maturity through Him. Now, what is so interesting, just sit down and think, I want to learn about Jesus. Here's all you need to know. Well, there's more to know, but you can really advance with, look, He is the bread of life. So you discuss that. He is the light of the world without darkness. In the bread of life, you have something to give you nourishment. Light of the world, no darkness. I am the door you can get in and out in. He is the good shepherd who takes care of you and guides you. He is the resurrection and life. There is our life. There is our resurrection. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We know that one. That's how we would ever come to God the Father. And then seven, Jesus is the true vine. He is the true vine. God the Father is the vine dresser. Okay. We also know from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, that the Holy Spirit is the true, well, just a true fruit producer in our lives. And from the teaching of Jesus, we grow physically as branches. The reward for us is, as we grow, is reward at the judgment seat of Christ. And God's instruction to us provide for us not only spiritual nourishment, but blessing in our lives as we apply our acquired knowledge. Now, we're ready to look in our study at verse 3. We studied verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews chapter 1. Now we're ready to go to verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Jesus is the glory of God and God's express image. Verse 3. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. Now, people, as I told you before, when you study the whole book of Hebrews, we will learn so more about Christ than you ever had any other one book. It is saturated with books, with information. Now we come to the fact, in dealing with Jesus Christ, He is the radiance of the glory of God the Father, and He is an exact image of the Father. The radiant splendor is a brilliance in the Hebrew. It's a brilliance. Anyone who desires to know God or sees God must know and look at Jesus. This was emphasis that we saw in Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus upholds all things by the word of His power. Look at verse 3. He bears or upholds all things by the word of His power, by the omnipotent word. We have already seen His glories and His omnipotent of His word. How did the world and the universe come into being? How did the world and the universe come into being? By His word. That is taught this in Ephesians, in Psalm 33. So let's look at Psalm 33, verse 9. Psalm 33, verse 9. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood firm. So this is what we learn in verse 3. Jesus Christ is the radiance of the glory of God. He is exact image of God. He is sustained of the creation of the world by God. You should teach your children the simplicity of the Word of God, especially if you have a child. Memorize them Hebrews 11:3. Let's look at it. Hebrews 11:3. Hebrews 11:3, by faith, we understand that the world has been created by the Word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things that are visible. Now, let's add to that teaching of our children on the creation, Colossians 1:16. Let's look at Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16, for by Him, by Jesus Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, our rulers, our authorities, all things have been created. That means angels, people. All things have been created through Him, and then the great push, and for Him. Everything was created by God, by Christ, and for Christ. So let's combine Psalm 33, as he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, by faith, we understand that the world has been created by the Word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things that are visible. And in Colossians 1:16, for by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether the thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him, and all things have been created for Him. For Him. Up to now, this has been about the creation. Now we move to relationship with mankind and relationship with God. But the removal of the sin problem, by the removal of the sin problem. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, let's continue reading. Jesus made purification of sin. Look at verse 3. When He had made purification of sins. Now this is so beautiful. All these things that Christ had been doing, all of a sudden, we come into it, but only by the taking away of the sins. That's the thought with mankind, is the taking away of sins. The sacrificial Lamb of God, who solved the sin problem that separated the human race from God, it is finished. It does not need ever repeated. The issue is the word purification, which means cleansing once and for all. Cleansing once and for all. Purification. Cleansing once for all. Jesus Christ, by dying, spiritual death on the cross, He made all the cleansing necessary for sin before God. Everyone's sins are cleansed. Unbelievers for all eternity, believers for all eternity. They're all taken care of. Please note that we do not mention His name of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 brings the first time we come to His name. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we do see Him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus. First time the Jews knew this in the book of Hebrews. Because of His suffering, death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. So Hebrews chapter 2, got to go all the way to chapter 2, verse 9, to come across to the name Jesus. Now, let's go back and look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Chapter 1, verse 3, Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of God. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He sat there after making cleanse for all sins. He marked the completeness of the sacrifice work of Christ. The place of highest honor, which is the seat Lucifer wanted so much to gain. To have, which led to his fall, by the way. Eve wanted to be like God and caused her to sin. He guaranteed the ratification of Jesus Christ was by the resurrection. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, John 11:24-25, 1 Colossians chapter 15, verse 43, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let me repeat these. We're dealing with, he guaranteed the ratification of Jesus Christ by his resurrection. Philippians 3:10, John 11:24-25, 1 Corinthians 15:42, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Now, let me get my Bible here. I've just been working with my word, working at this, but let's read verse 3 in Hebrews. Let's take a look at where we are, Hebrews. Here we are. Chapter 1. And we're in verse 3, but let's just read. God, after he spoke. Now remember, that's not how this is the Hebrew does. The Hebrew starts off with, he spoke, or long ago. But anyway, God, after he spoke, long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions, and in many ways, in these last days of the age of Israel, last days, has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Now verse 3. And he is the radiance of the glory. Look at all that he's done. Look at verse 2. Spoken of his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Now verse 3, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact representation of his nature, of God the Father's nature, and uphold all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, it's the first mention here. First mention of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God. That's what we're studying in Hebrews chapter 1. Now we're ready for verse 4. We're just zooming along here. Verse 4, Jesus is inherited a more excellent name than angels. Jesus is inherited a more excellent name than angels. The Son of God. Now, verse 4. Having become as much better than angels. Now, you got to think of this from the Jews. He's better than the angels. He was inherited a more excellent name than they. Now, being better. Being better, which becomes very important to you, to us in the Christian life, is better than the Hebrew system. So what we have is better than the Hebrew system. The Greek word here is an adjective translated better, but it means superior, better, are more advantageous. All three carried in it. Superior, better, advantageous, more advantageous. In the discussion of better, the Complete Bible, a biblical library, has listed five superiors to the Christians over the Hebrews. Christians have a superior Lord than the angels. Christians have a superior Lord than the angels. Hebrews chapter 1, 4. Secondly, Christians have a better hope. Hebrews chapter 9, or chapter 7, verse 19. Also, second, a better covenant. They have a better hope a better covenant. Chapter 7, verse 22. Better promises. Better promises. Chapter 8, verse 6. This is things you have right now. Better future as foreseen by God. Chapter 11, verse 40. We'll get to it one day and cover it. But this is the things that we are given. We are better. Yes. Okay, good. This is from the complete Bible Biblical Library. As five superiors to the Christians over the Hebrews. Christians have a superior Lord than the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Christians have a better hope. A better hope. Hebrews chapter 7, 19. And people, how important is our hope? Our hope is very important. Better covenant. Chapter 7, verse 22. And one that we often will learn and make list of. Better promises. Chapter 8, verse 6. Better promises. And then a better future as foreseen by God. Chapter 11, verse 40. Chapter 11, verse 40. There is one person who is returning to this earth in the one day, in one day he will completely solve all the problems of history. Boy, that'll be a great day, won't it? Man, take care of all the problems of history. Jesus Christ is the key to history. The only hope for any tranquility is in Jesus Christ. And that means now and future. Everything is inevitable, must be related to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, know about the completeness about Jesus, his ascension and session. Note the completion of it. One, Jesus Christ, perfect travel through the three heavens, and arrived at the throne room, which is comparable to the Holy of Holies, in the reference Old Testament, in the Holy of Holies, and to was seated at the right hand of the Father. So here is the completeness of the about Jesus Christ, his ascension and session. The completeness going over the three heavens of heaven. Secondly, Jesus Christ being seated at the right hand of God is documented in many scriptures. Many scriptures. If you want to, please turn to Psalm 110. Now, I happen to like Psalm 110, but let's take a look. Psalm 110, 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. This was powerful in itself. Think about this. You just open it up and open Psalm 110. The Lord has said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Who is talking? Who's the Lord? Who's he talking that sat down beside him? Who are the enemies? So many things. This was my graduate paper at DTS and several other papers. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Romans chapter 8, 34. Ephesians 1:20 that we've spent on. Colossians 3:1, which we've studied, and several passages coming up in Hebrews. Hebrews 1:3, Hebrews 1:13, Hebrews 8:1, Hebrews 10:12. So you see, this was very important to God. And 1 Peter 3:22. It's very important that God said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. That was very big to God the Father. So the session of Christ confirms the acceptability of the resurrected humanity of Jesus the Christ. So this is where we'll begin next class, next week, and we will continue on in chapter 1, verses 5 through 13. I got to move fast, but I've been wanting to let all this get its foundation for you. But I'm going to move much faster as we go on through this, and believe it or not. Now, this is each of you, it's your own personal life, but I want to tell you right now, I'm talking to you people on the internet, we need to get back there praying as people, as a group, an assembly. So on next Wednesday at 6:30, it won't be very many because it won't be very long because it won't be very many. But if more of you come, we'll increase the time a little bit. But at six thirty, we will pray together. We'll spend a little bit of time. It won't be long, but we'll spend some time in prayer together. I'm so ashamed that we've let it go this long because of the weather, which was just a big excuse. And we need to get back to it. And you people out there need to start coming to come prayer time. Let's close in a word of prayer. We come to you in prayer, Father. And we're just so amazed. Things there are to learn about Jesus Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for telling us and teaching us about the I Ams of Christ. And then today, Heavenly Father, about Hebrews chapter 1, where we've learned about Jesus Christ. And there is so much to learn. We thank you for it. Pray that your Spirit will take the things we've learned, enriching our souls because of it. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.